Hi, thanks for joining this week's podcast with Pastor James Jones of the Divergent Church. We hope you will be blessed by the message you are about to hear. If you would like some more information about the church, please feel free to reach out via email at divergentcog@aol.com or go over and check out our website, divergentcog.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you have a blessed day.
Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew this morning. This morning we're going to talk about a message entitled, You Give Them Something. This morning we're going to look at a message entitled, You Give Them Something. And we're going to look in Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to read verse 15 through 20. And this is a little bit different because I had actually really anticipated going a different way. I had all kinds of notes for this message. And somewhere yesterday afternoon, all of those got thrown out and I just kind of redid everything. I want to recap some things from this year that we talked about and get into the same thought, the same principle here of you give them something, but I'm going to do it a little differently than what originally I had planned on doing. Just see where the Lord leads us this morning. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 15, and the Word of God says this, "When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food.' But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed." Boy, that's the biggest part this morning. "He looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained." This year has been aimed at intentional, personal, spiritual growth for every individual. Think of every message this year so far. Now, I know you probably don't remember them, but I do, so I'll bring them back for you. I'm not going to preach them all. I'm going to just make mention of each one because there was an intentional path we set out in January. I don't want you to think just randomly, Lord, let me throw a message this week. From back in December and even late last year, we were praying and we knew God wanted to go a direction this year. And so everything has been very intentional this year. And this is why we've been, you know, trying to record these messages, get them on podcast, get them on the Thursday replay, which we keep failing at getting to, but we're going to get to. All of these things that we want to do because of what God is saying and what He's setting up this year. Every message this year has been a building block, has been for a purpose, for us to move to this place right here this morning. From early this year, we started with a message entitled, Time to Grow. We went to the allure of sin, the disciple's life, the way. We talked about baptism. We talked about becoming you. And most recently, we had the I Am Not Ashamed series. And the 2 messages on the humility of discernment. Now the first one, Time to Grow, back in early January, matter of fact, the first Sunday of the year, we talked about flourishing patiently. Not just being in a rush to grow, not just being, I've got to grow and let's grow overnight, let's miracle grow this thing and let's get, no, patiently flourishing, patiently developing, yet intentionally developing. And producing fruit. And doing so that we might go where we're called to be. Because God is calling us to go somewhere. God is calling us to do something. But in order to do so, we must grow intentionally. So it was time to grow when we started off this year. The very next week, we talked about the allure of sin. As we grow, one of the big things to know is, where does sin come from? And what we established in this message was, it all comes back to how we think. Remember, in this message, we talked about sin doesn't start at the act of sin. Sin doesn't start at temptation. Sin doesn't start at, you know, us being in the wrong. Sin starts with the desires. We looked in the book of James and we saw how sin manifests from the desires of our own heart. And the enemy knows those desires and opens up opportunity to fulfill those desires. But if the desires of our heart are after God, we are much less likely to sin because we have a new nature within us. So as we grow, we need to get this understanding, this realization. You know, it's wonderful. I've been in church after church after church where they jump up and down and talk about they're going to jump on the devil's head and they're going to do all this stuff. And that is great. And the church should be taking ground. The church should be overcoming the enemy. But we have to do it in an intelligent manner. Have you ever seen an army or any kind of military force just run out in a battle with no plan whatsoever? Have you ever heard of that before? They have a plan. They get themselves organized. You have to go through boot camp before you even get there because you have to be disciplined that when you get there, you can follow the order, you can follow the instruction, and you can go in a direction that is going to be fruitful for the entire unit. And so it is with Christian service. You don't just jump into it and say, all right, bless God, let me go get some people saved and start swinging your Bible. That's wonderful. I love that zeal. But control that. Harness that, focus that, and do it in a manner that is going to be not only efficient, but is going to be effective. And so the first thing that we talked about was the allure of sin. Once we start talking about it was time to grow, we talk about this is where sin starts. It starts in our own desire. It doesn't start with temptation. It doesn't start with it starts from within us. So what are your desires? Conquer those desires. That's why it's called the helmet of salvation. It's a battle for the mind. It all starts in how we think. And the mind must be focused on God. What are my desires? So then we moved on next to the disciples' life. Modeling the life of Jesus Christ. A disciple's life, we talked about this if you remember, others see Jesus when they see you. That we deny ourselves and become a piece of the puzzle. We don't try to be the whole thing. We try to be a piece of God's puzzle. We realize that we're connected, that we're unique, and a disciple understands. We kind of talked about in Sunday school this morning how we're part of the body. We're part of the family of Christ. We're a unique individual. And because of the uniqueness and the giftedness of every individual coming together in conjunction, the church can move. From the disciples' life, we talked about a message called the way. How we walk. How we live. Following God anywhere He calls. He will call us to places and we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And that was the building blocks of time to grow, the allure of sin in the disciples' life to get us to the way. To follow Him. Because it requires action to follow God. You can't just follow God without action. It's not possible. You can't follow God while sitting down. You can't follow God while doing nothing. To follow Him, you have to be actively doing something. That may not mean that you're moving. That might be that you're moved to prayer right where you're at. That might mean that you're waiting, but even when you're waiting, you can actively wait. Remember when Paul went to Athens to wait on others, and he was on Mars Hill, and he was actively waiting, church? Because while he was there, he was moved in his spirit, and he said, "This, they've got idols to every god you can imagine, the sun, the wind, the moon, the stars, the water, the earth, the this, the that. They even had an idol to an unknown god in case they missed one. Honest to goodness, that's why, in case we missed one, we got an idol for every god, but if there's one we didn't catch, here it is. This is the catch all here, in case we missed a god." And the Spirit of God moved Paul, and Paul began to speak about that idol of the unknown. Let me tell you about the god that you don't know. Paul was actively waiting. He was waiting on his companions, but while he was there, he was doing something for the Lord because he was moved in his spirit. And that is the way. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and to follow Him, we must do so actively. Then we got into a message entitled, Becoming You. You were made with purpose. You were made for purpose. And the Word of God will lead you. And this is where we really started the emphasis on you've got to get into the Word of God. We need to get into the Word of God daily. The church must do and be what the Word calls us to do and be. The individual must do. See, as the individual grows, as the individual develops, then you get the identity of the church. And that's what we talked about, the identity here, becoming you. As I become myself, as I become who God created me to be, then those around me are doing the same thing, then the church as a whole becomes what God has created it to be. And so we develop, we grow, we become who we were called to be, who we were gifted to be, who we were led to be, who were we created to be. Then we came to the I Am Not Ashamed series. And just touching on it briefly, we talked about standing on the Word and the purpose of God. Plain and simple. I am His property. I belong to Him, and I'm equipped to do His will. And I'm not ashamed that I'm the property of God. I'm not ashamed that I'm a servant, that I am a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God that says there's a right and a wrong. I'm humbled by the exposure and the forgiveness of my sin that is revealed through the gospel. The gospel tells me there's a right and there's a wrong. We know that we're commissioned to be the watchmen, that our commitment to live before God and man unashamed has to do with our commission to be a watchman. I can promise you, John the Baptist was not beheaded because he preached a message of judge not lest you be judged. He didn't preach a message of saying, hey, it's okay. Only God can judge you. You go ahead and sin. We're just going to extend grace. He was beheaded because he took a stand for what was right. And we kind of jokingly said, you know, in our day and time, John wouldn't be a popular evangelist because a crowd comes and he jumps out and says, you brood of vipers, you sinners, who told you to repent? Man, you can't open up a church service like that, John. They're all going to leave. You got to say, oh, we're glad to see you here and the Lord loves you. John was not imprisoned for tiptoeing around. Peter was not in handcuffs because he stood out in the court and said, just smile, Jesus loves you. That was too far, wasn't it? I'm sorry. Peter wasn't in prison because he sugarcoated a God. Because, oh, it's okay, Jesus just loves us. It's all right. Don't worry about what you're doing wrong. John was not exiled to the island of Patmos because he said, hey, we all sin differently. It's okay. We'll just overlook each other's sins. Now, I'm not telling you we look down our nose at each other. You know better than that. But to look at sin and to say, I'm just going to pretend it's not there, you have done a great disservice to the individual who is lost in sin. There's a way to deal with it in love. And the gospel says we are to deal with it in love. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Then we looked at God's timeless love right before Easter time. We observed how God has meticulously illustrated throughout the Old Testament of the Bible and then fulfilled throughout the New Testament of the Bible. And then most recently, we talked about the humility of discernment, how we need discernment, but it is a skill that must be honed, a skill we must learn, a skill we must master, a skill we need to be instructed in, trained in, because God desires to enhance that ability. But if we aren't ready for that enhancement, we could hurt ourselves and others. But when we are ready, we can see things much better, much clearer, and we can speak to situations. So that brings us to today. In today's text, there's a multitude of people. Jesus is using this opportunity to feed the people, to impact them with a miracle, and to teach the disciples and us a great truth. You see, there was a great crowd that followed him. And he was performing miracles, and he was healing the sick, and he was doing things through the power of the Holy Spirit that was within him. But then you got 5,000 people in the middle of nowhere and no food. And the disciples saw a need, and they said, Lord, there's a need here. These people are hungry. Send them away. that they may get something to eat. There's been miracles, there's been healings. But now there's going to be a lesson. Jesus says they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You have what they need in your hands. They don't need to go somewhere else. We don't need to send them off. They're here for a purpose. You have something in your hands and they need it. Take it to them. You give them something to eat. Their response was what? All we have is a couple fish and a couple loaves. How can that feed so many people? Their response to him was a natural response. Their response to him was a logical response. We've got five loaves of bread and two fish. They didn't understand. They knew that he could do anything, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. You have what they need. Yes, we have what they need, but we don't have enough. He didn't say you have enough. He didn't say count how much. He said what they need, you have. You give them something. Here's the key to all of it. When they told him what they have, he said, bring it to me. Do you know what happens when you serve Jesus Christ? Do you know what happens when you commit to giving him everything you have? Let's skip to the end real quick and I'll tell you. Verse 20. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Again, do you know what you end up with when you serve Jesus Christ? You end up with more than you started out with. I didn't ask you how much yet. I said, you have what they need. Bring it to me. Remember I told you one of the key things in the text was when he looked to heaven and he blessed it? When they brought what they had to Jesus Christ and he blessed it, not only was it enough to feed the multitude, not only was it enough to meet the need, but they ended up with more than they started out with before they began to serve him. You see, the things you go through, the trials you go through, the storms you go through, sometimes we look at our life and we say, I'm full of weaknesses, I'm full of things I can't measure up, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. But the truth of the matter is, and we've said this before when we talked about, you know, perceived weaknesses and our identity and who we are. Sometimes our perceived weaknesses are actually the strengths that God has placed within us. We use the example of Peter. He was outspoken. He would get out and say something, and sometimes he would stick his foot in his mouth because he was so quick to speak. And I've said many times, I would like to relate to the Apostle Paul, but I probably relate more to the Apostle Peter than anybody because, yeah, sometimes I do that. I don't like to admit it, but sometimes I say stuff and then later go, yeah, I said that. And you could say that's a weakness. He's impetuous. But who got up on the day of Pentecost and spoke because it was in his nature? Peter. You see, I'll bring my weaknesses to Jesus Christ. He'll look at me and say, you have what they need. But all I have is this junk. All I have is this past. All I have is this. You know, you have what they need. Bring it to me. Bring it to me, he says. He blesses it. They go out. The people are satisfied, and then they end up with more than they started with. Jesus was getting them ready. He was preparing them. Because it wouldn't be long before he began to send them out to do great things. Church, he has been preparing us. And I don't just mean from the first of this year. I mean from a long time for some of us. He has been preparing us. There is a world that it's lost. It's dark. It's confused. It's hurt. It's lonely. It's depressed. It's angry. And that world is literally just on the other side of that door. Just on the other side of that door, there is an entire world that is lost and dark and confused and lonely and hurt and without hope because of the schemes of the enemy. It's the world we live in. This world is starving for something. This world is hungry for something. And guess what? You've got what they need. I've got what they need. We've got what they need. You say, oh, man, there's only about 20 of us in here this morning. How are we going to bring it to Him? But all I've got is, bring it. You have got what they need. But I'm going through this time for a reason. You have got what they, man, we went through stuff in our family, in our past, in relationships, in different things. Folks that have hurt us that never should have. Things that we did to ourselves and got ourselves in trouble. And so on and so forth in the past. And we knew every step of the way, God is going to use this. He's going to bring this to fruition. Sometimes that's the only thought that takes you through those times. Sometimes you get into a middle of something, and the only thing that takes you through that time is knowing God's doing something here. He's going to bring it out later. I'm just going to hold on to Him and keep moving forward. One of the greatest, most freeing words I ever heard in my life. I was in the midst of probably one of the lowest points in life at that time. I was doing things in my own power. I was young and didn't understand things. I was in my first pastorate and only a few years into it. And it seemed like everything was failing. And I sat there and I sat through a message where, I'll never forget, Dr. Raymond Culpepper was talking about how we get to this spiraling situation where we feel like we're defeated. Then we get this depression. Then we feel like we're useless. Then we say it's futile. And then we say, I'm damaged. I can't be used anymore. And as he went through every step, it was as though he and I were the only ones talking to each other, even though there were hundreds of other men there. And after he spoke the next day, there's another man that comes in. Dr. Tim Hill gets in, and he gives this message, and he starts talking about going through things. He talks about how we struggle through things. And then he just stops mid-message. And have you ever been in a place where you're kind of there, but you're not? You know, the preacher's preaching and you're kind of dazed. I know none of y'all do that here on Sunday because I'm just, no. I would probably do that here on Sunday. I watch the Go Live and sometimes I'm like, wait, what did I just say? Rewind. But you get in that place and your mind's kind of drifting and maybe things are heavy and stuff's going on. There's so much going on in your life. And I was at that place. I was hearing what he was saying, but I wasn't really retaining or grasping. I was just in the room. I was present. And this was a smaller room. I think it was three rows of chairs. I was in the middle row, and from where the preacher was standing, I was right over in this area. And he stands there, Dr. Hill, and he looks. He says, I got to tell you something. Honest to goodness, I thought he was pointing right at me because I was like, and I look, because I was kind of nodding off. And when he starts with, I got to tell you something, you see a finger, I'm like, who saw that? He says, I got a word. And then he's just kind of, you know, he starts with this and he's, I got a word. And I know I've shared this with you before, but this changed my life at that moment. It was the moment that everything really just kind of broke loose in Baltimore for me. Because we had been through so much stuff. I'd actually been in and out of hospital for months. They told me I was dying, told me I was, nobody could figure out what was wrong with me. I never knew what was wrong. It just stopped. After that weekend, it stopped. And I'll never forget the word he said. He said, this is literally for you from the Spirit of God. Stopped him in his tracks from what he was preaching. He said, some things are not meant to be overcome. They're meant to be survived. Some things were not meant for you to conquer. They were meant for you to survive. And if you survive it, then you've conquered it. Yeah, I wasn't no good the rest of the day. I don't know what else he said that day. I just remember looking down at my Bible and saying that I need to make a choice, Lord. There are things you will go through. There are times, and you know what? Ironically, because of that time, there's a minister who's, I think he's 22 years older than I am, was going through a horrible time last year, and I was able to counsel him through it because of what I went through. And I've turned to this guy for a lot of help over the years, and he's been a great friend and still is a great confidant, somebody I can share with, somebody I can talk to about, you know, different things happening. because I've known him for a long time, but last year I had the opportunity, the privilege, to counsel him through what I went through. And that's because of God, church. You can look this morning and say, all I have is, no. You have what they need. You have it. It's in your hands, it's in your possession, it's in your grasp. That world that is hungry, that world that is starving right now, it's hungry for what you have. But I only have but my past. But I'm not trained. But I can't. It doesn't matter. You give them something. You give them something. Jesus didn't look at the disciples and say, hey, how much do you guys have? He didn't look at the disciples and say, well, do you guys got enough for these five? When they said send them off, he goes, we don't have to send them off. You give them something. He knew they had something with them. And with him, it will always be enough, church. 5,000 people. All we have is two fish and five loaves. He said, bring it to me. Everything you have, bring it to me. And they had 12 baskets of leftovers. They ended up with more than they started with. I'm going to wrap it up with this. If you're ready this morning to heed the call of God, and this is not just another message. This is not something I threw together in a minute here. This is something I've been praying about for months. I didn't even know it was going to be this week. If I had known it was going to be this week, I'd have advertised this 3 weeks ago. We're going to have a commissioning service. That's how God works. It wasn't about publicity. It wasn't about trying to work up a crowd. It was about whoever is there will be there for a purpose. If you're ready this morning to heed the call of God, but I only have, you bring it. You bring it to him this morning. And by the time you have trusted him and obeyed him, you will find that you not only have enough for the task that he's calling you to, but you'll find that you have more than you started out with when you didn't think you had enough. This world needs what you and I have. People are discouraged. People are depressed. People are being told your identity is found in your sexual attraction. People are being told your identity is found in temporary things. Your identity is found in Jesus Christ, the one who made you, the one who crafted you, the one who... Do not sell yourself short. That's what we need to tell the world. We don't need to get up on our high horse and tell the world, you need to be... And I don't believe... There's nobody in this place that's ever done this. That you need to be more like me. You should live like I live, and then you'll have the blessing of God. You should do what I do. No. Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Christianity is me with all of my past, with all of my mess ups, with all of my failures, coming to somebody else and saying, he helped me, he'll help you too. Coming to someone else and saying, I've been depressed, he'll heal you too. I've been discouraged, he'll heal you too. I've been in a place where I didn't think I was going to make it out, he'll bring you out too. You see, that's not just my testimony. I'm willing to bet money, and I'm not a betting man. I'm not, sometimes. No. I'm willing to bet. I got to make you laugh every now and make sure you're awake, so you're not spacing out like I was. I'm willing to bet money that everyone in this room has a testimony somewhere along the line. God has done something. Even if you're in the midst of something right now where it feels like he must be done with me. Nope. He wasn't done with Jonah when he was in the whale. He was not done with Joseph while he was sitting in prison. He was not done with David. He was not done with Moses while he was in the wilderness for 40 years, waiting to greet people and go back to the wilderness for 40 years. He's not done. God's patient. But this morning, we've had a lot this year. We've learned a lot this year. We've talked about a lot this year. But there's only so much talking you can do. There comes a place when you have to put it into action. And that's what this morning's about. You see, when I really started going over this message, I had three other messages for this week. And then when this one came, it really just kind of came out. And I had all these ideas I was going to go with. And like some of these notes were pretty good, I thought. But it all just went aside at some point. And I started to realize what it was God wanted to do this morning. And like I say, if I'd have known weeks ago, I'd have messed it up and tried to make it into a big event. This isn't a big event. This is just something God does and will continue to do. But this morning, this is the invitation. If you're ready to heed God's call, if you want to do what He's called you to do, then would you stand this morning? Because He's reaching out to us and saying, you have what they need. You give them something. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, in just a moment, we're going to be praying. And God, as a pastor, as a caretaker for this flock, Lord, I want to impart this morning anointing. I want to impart an authority that you have given. Because each of us, Lord God, there's no big jobs and small jobs. We don't have to go out here and start swinging for the fence, Lord God. We have to go out of here with the mindset of I have something and I'm going to take it to the people. If I reach one person, then I've changed the eternity for someone. And I've done it for your glory. If I reach 1,000 people, then I've changed the eternity for 1,000 people and I've done it for your glory. But whatever I do is a gift from you and a gift for you. Has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with my personal ability. It has to do with my obedience and my submission to you. So Lord, this morning, I'm asking, God, let us not enter into this thing lightly. This isn't just some religious thing. This is just something we're doing this morning. You've prepared us for this moment in time. And there's not going to be, God, I don't believe there's going to be some magical door that opens. All of a sudden, I'm going to feel different. Everything's going to, no, it's a personal commitment where I'm saying, I'm going to heed the call. I have called to be the watchman. I'm called to be unashamed. I'm called to grow. I'm called to know about sin. I'm called to know about right and wrong. I'm called to take what I have and go to the people. I'm called to go out to the world where those people who don't know who they are can find hope in Jesus Christ. I'm called to go to a world where people don't love somebody and love them with the love of Jesus Christ. I'm called to go out where there is no truth, Lord God, and be your truth. And do it just as Jesus Christ has done it. When Jesus sent forth his disciples, Lord, he empowered them and emboldened them that they might speak and that they might move in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And God, that's what you want to do with us this morning. So Lord, in just a moment, take this time right now, church. And just between you and God, begin to ask Him, what is it, Lord? What is it that I have that the people need? And I'm telling you, He's going to show you right now if you let Him. Make it so evidently clear. And for some, it will be no surprise whatsoever. And for others, you might be thoroughly shocked. But right now, in your own way, just commune with the Spirit of God, because He's commissioning us to go forth. He's commissioning us to do something great for His name's sake. And He wants to send us out like lambs among wolves, but empowered to overcome, empowered to do what we never thought we could do. And I don't want you to be embarrassed this morning, church, as we're continuing to pray. In a moment, I'm going to open these altars and we're going to pray and we're going to commission you. I don't want you to be embarrassed if you say, you know what, I may not be ready for this step. This isn't something you just lightly do. But in a moment when we open these altars, if you say, I want to heed the call of God, I mean, I want to be sent out. I want to be commissioned this morning so I can go out today, so I can go out this week, so I can go out every single day as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and make a difference. I want to go out and lay hands on the sick. I want to go out and talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to go out and live it and be an example. I want to go to a place where I walk so closely to God that His Spirit touches someone else and they look at me and they know I have something they want. They just don't know what it is. If you can genuinely say that's where you want to be this morning, would you come to the altar and just create a single file line if you can from one side to the other, if there's enough room? And again, don't be embarrassed if you're not ready for that. But if you are ready, I want you to come up to the altar and just kind of form a line across the front of the altar this morning, because I want to commission you. I want to send you out this morning. God's looking for those who will go out into the world in boldness, who will go out into the world in authority, who will take what we've learned this year, who take the development and take the growth and be able to go forth. And I'm not just talking about professional ministers. I'm not talking about I'm talking about whatever He's given you. You might be handing out bread. You might be preaching the Word of God. You might be praying over the sick. Whatever it is God's showing you right now, I don't want you to miss this opportunity. And it's not like this is the only time we're going to do it. But this morning, we're going to commission and send forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Church, I'm asking you to pray with me this morning. And I'm just going to lay hands on each of these as we go through. My God, in the name of Jesus. My God, in the name of Jesus, My God, in the name of Jesus, over every one of these, every one of these, Lord God, God, I just release right now a commissioning authority, Lord God. Lord God, I transfer an anointing right now, and an authority, Lord God, to trample over spirits, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, to walk boldly, Lord God, and to proclaim, Lord God, what it is you have them to proclaim. No two will do the same thing, but everyone will do something, Lord God, empowered and emboldened and anointed by the Holy Spirit. He shall indeed light your path. He shall order the steps moving forward, and He shall open the door before you that no man can close. My God, I pray right now over each of these, Lord God, who have come forth, Lord God. Lord God, that you would begin to open doors for them, that you would begin to show them, Lord God. You see, Lord God, when we walk forward, sometimes we don't know the direction to walk, but my God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that you would illuminate the direction, Lord God, that you would give them the direction, and my God, that you would give them the supernatural authority to do what it is you've called them to do, because, Lord God, they will indeed take hold over spirits, over principalities, over powers, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. The things that they have experienced, the things that they have conquered, the things that they have survived, the things that they have witnessed, Lord God, have brought them to a place of understanding, a place of recognition, Lord God. And God, I pray you release in them an understanding. You release in them a discernment, because that discernment, Lord God, as we talked about, it begins with us. That humility of discernment starts with discerning our own lives. Why has this happened? What has gone in my life? What about my past? And you have orchestrated it for this moment in time. time, Lord God, every success, every failure, every hurt, every victory, every joy, every intrepidation, every anxiety, Lord God, has been put in my life for a reason, for a purpose, Lord God. And God, I pray you begin to give that discernment right now, Lord God. God, I pray over these this morning, Lord God. God, that as they leave this place this morning, Lord God, that they would not leave, Lord God, the way they came, but empowered, emboldened, and looking for opportunity. The Spirit says right now to look for opportunity. The Spirit says right now to make the commitment is one thing, but to rely on God to do everything is foolish. He will do the work. He will provide the power. He will light the way. But we must open our eyes to follow Him purposefully. Not to sit and wait for Him. Sometimes we'll be sitting. Sometimes we'll be waiting. So long as our eyes are upon Him, vigilantly watching, vigilantly looking, then we will know what direction to go. And He will illuminate it. And you will see increase in what God has given you. You look in your hands right now in the Spirit, and you look at what it is you have, and you say, Lord, I don't have enough for one person. He is going to make it enough for more than one person. And He's going to bring increase into your life. And I don't just mean financially. I'm not just talking about prosperity. Yes, He will bless your home. He will indeed bring blessing to you. But He's going to give an abundance in authority, an abundance in health, an abundance in understanding. These are spiritual things that will come. My God, we surrender ourselves to You right now, O God. And God, I commission these. I commission them and send them forth, Lord God, as those who are heeding the call, who will take this morning what they have, however big or small, and go to the people. They will actively look for that place. They will actively look today and this week. What door are You opening, Lord God? What way are You leading? And God, I know You will lead them every step of the way. God, I pray special blessing over them right now. Because the first thing that'll happen is the enemy will say, that was emotion. The first thing that will happen is the enemy will say, you didn't mean it. Nothing really happened. God, silence the devourer. Silence the accuser of the brethren. God, we wouldn't be standing here this morning if we didn't mean it. We wouldn't be standing here this morning if we didn't know what we were saying, if we didn't know what we were doing. We wouldn't be in this place if Your Spirit didn't draw us, Lord God. We can't even call You Lord aside from Your Spirit. So Lord, let us know and let it be resolved that the commitment made this morning was very real. And Lord God, You will indeed bless that commitment. I believe it with all my heart. I pray over each one of these again, Lord God. Special blessing, because the enemy will attack, but Lord God, he's got nothing. He's got nothing. We have seen the desperation in the enemy these past couple weeks, and God, I believe Your people have turned around and have retaliated in the Spirit and are driving back the enemy. We're seeing it, Lord God. We're seeing things happen in our nation right now, where the enemy's power is being driven back. God, we need to drive forward in the name of Jesus. Bless Your people, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Church, let's have a closing prayer together. And I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you. You may be seated. I don't want you guys to have to stay up here. This is something that I struggled with this morning. I was on my way in and I was like, Lord, I really did. There was a point where I was like, Lord, I wish I knew this. I would have been like, you know, created a Facebook event and said, come get commended. You know, because that's me. I would have got involved and I would have messed it up. But instead, God said, no, this is me. This is how I work. This is what I do. This is not the only time we're going to do this, church. Because, you know, part of who we are as Divergent is every member is a minister. That doesn't mean you're going to stand with a microphone in your hand preaching and expounding the biblical truths. But you're going to be a servant of Jesus Christ, empowered, emboldened, and enabled to do what you never dreamed possible, which is part of, again, who we are. I want to remind you about Sunday school. 9:30 on Sunday mornings, if you can make it. We're having a great time. We've been talking about identity the past couple Sundays that we've met. And I want to let you know there's going to be some updates in the email this week. We're going to start using our YouTube channel. There's going to be some extra teachings going on during the week. I've got a ton of material just from prayer time and writing down notes and prayer journals. And something that the Lord really revealed to me this past weekend is I need to start getting it out. And I don't have enough time to do it on Sunday morning or Sunday school or, you know, even the other classes we add. So we're going to start doing some online classes, so to speak. We'll start putting them on our YouTube channel, sharing them to social media, just getting the word out. That's one of the things God's sending me to do. I'm looking at my hands saying sometimes, Lord, I don't know. He says, you got what you need. Go do it. And so I'm encouraging you to do the same thing this morning, church. So be looking for that. We're going to have some updates in the email this week. Also, Sunday school. Those are the two announcements. Is there any announcements I'm missing? Because I will miss them shorter than anything. Yeah. Oh. There's a prayer list out front on the welcome stand. If you've got prayer needs, we're going to write them down in the prayer list. And yes. Miss, thank you. I knew there was something else. Miss Sarah, many of you know Miss Sarah lives right over here in Discovery. She's trying to get back into her home. I think it's no secret. Everybody is well aware she's dealing with cancer and other health issues, and she's been hospitalized and had some things going on and physically unable to do a lot of things she needs to do in her home. And so long story short, without getting into detail, she really needs some things done at her home. She's going to be there this afternoon for a few hours, and then we're going to work out whether some other schedule. Other churches are getting involved in, as well. It's not just going to be a few people committing. So if you can go today to help out a little bit, that's fine. If not, don't over-concern yourself. We're going to get involved. But this afternoon after church, she's going to be at her house and try and spend an hour or two cleaning, removing some things, removing some debris, things like that. So if you're trying to be sensitive, if you're sensitive to smell or things like that, because the house has been occupied for a little while, you may want to just hold off on today. I don't want to create an uncomfortable situation, but if you can go and help today, if you can go and be a part of that, we're trying to, us and many others are trying to get her house back into shape where she can live in it again, where she can be inside of it. So that's just a service project. Again, no pressure on it today. It's available today if you want to go by today and help clean out. There'll be some other people there, but there will be some other opportunities in the future with that as well coming up. So please keep her in prayer for what's going on, because I believe she has chemo coming up again this week, a chemo treatment this week. So she's going to be incapacitated off and on over the next couple weeks. So just something to be aware of. But again, this afternoon, if you are able to do that after church, by all means, feel free to stop by there. If not, that's okay. There will be other opportunities for that. It wasn't actually. That was another thing I forgot. Thank you. That was the other thing I did want to mention this morning. As far as the daily devotional for this week, I couldn't get my computer to work right this morning. I think it got wet yesterday. So what I'm going to do when I get home, I got it worked out on my tablet, but I couldn't get anything sent out. So this afternoon, on Facebook and in the email, I'm going to send out to you the title of the YouVersion daily devotional for this week. And also, I'll send out invitations if you're connected with Divergent on YouVersion Bible app. You'll get invitations later on this afternoon as well for the Bible, for the daily devotion that goes with this message, reiterating the message for the week. So I've kind of had my hands full a little bit and really got frustrated with myself the past couple days, but also made a commitment with everybody else this morning. I'm gonna clean that up. I'm going to tighten that up a little bit. So, and I appreciate your patience in that. But, together we're doing some pretty good things, and it's moving forward. I'm excited about what's next. I'm very excited about what's next. So church, let me pray over you this morning, and we're going to, I invite you to stay in fellowship as long as you'd like, but we're going to have a closing prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you this morning. My God, we thank you for your call. We thank you for how you do things. Lord, it's not the way we would do it, and thank you for that. Because honestly, we would mess things up if it was left in our hands. But God, you choose to use us. You choose to work through us. You choose to put it in our hands when we're ready, when we're able, when we're willing, Lord God, when we're prepared for it. And God, that's what you're doing. You're calling us to go to the people. And Lord God, those who came forth this morning, those who said, I want to heed the call, I want to go forth, Lord God. God, I pray blessing over them. So I pray, Lord God, you open the doors. But Lord, let us heed that word from the Holy Spirit. Let us be watchful. Let us be observing. Where are you leading? Where are you pointing, Lord God? Lead us in the right direction. And Lord, as we move forward, there's going to be more of this. There's going to be more of this sending forth, Lord God. There's going to be more commissioning and moving into ministry, Lord God. We've seen the beginnings of it this morning. But God, what is yet to come over the next couple months, this is going to be amazing. Lord God, I wish I was just had the freedom to talk about the vision, Lord God, that you've been giving me the past couple weeks. But God, this is kind of like, I was so excited this morning because this is the beginning of that. This is the starting line, if you will, Lord. But it's all for you. It's all by you. It's all you, Lord. And God, we thank you for that this morning. As we leave here, go with us, I pray, bless your people. And God, we honor you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Go with God. He's going with you.